Well, that's a great job. Thank you, ensemble. I was thinking as they were singing that song, God is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship. But that's not just the only reason we worship Him. We worship Him because what it does for us. We praise Him for what it does for our soul, for our spirit. It brings a new understanding and an attitude in our lives that we need to have. God's not on an ego trip. God doesn't need us to say, oh, you're wonderful. God doesn't need us to say, oh, you're worthy. We need to say, God is worthy. It brings a new awareness to our hearts and to our lives. We need that. God doesn't need that nearly as much as we need that. And it changes us when we learn that valuable lesson. One other quick announcement. As you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, that's page 1181 in one of your sanctuary Bibles, we're in the time of year where we try to help others and do for others, and one of the things that's always been a practice here at this church is donating turkeys for those who need a holiday dinner. And we're collaborating with all the other churches in the area, the Sacramento Food Bank, to donate all the turkeys that are needed to the families in the area that are food insecure. And we need lots of turkeys. I think last year we donated 75 turkeys. That's just fantastic. What we're doing different this year is we're taking all the donations and turning them in at one central location. Then they are distributing them to the different food pantries as they're needed. So if you can help us write down this date, November 16th, that's a Thursday, we'd like you to take your turkey, not your husband, your turkey, down to Cal Expo Center. They're collecting them from 4 in the morning until 7 at night. You have no excuse. You say, well, I got to go to work. Well, just get up a little early and go, because they're there at 4 in the morning. And we're going to try to turn all those donations in, and then they distribute those across the city where they're needed. And we don't have to have a certain number, but we'd like to have a good number. And some last year bought 2 and 3 turkeys to donate, and that's just wonderful. So get ready to shop as you go this week and you prepare for Thanksgiving. Just pick up an extra turkey or 2. And remember, November the 16th, down at Cal Expo Center, we'll drop them off there. And then we will be distributing on that Saturday. It's the 18th, right? On Saturday the 18th, we'll give you the time. Once they know how many turkeys they've collected, then they're going to give us the times when all of us distribute at the different churches. And we'll be doing that on November the 18th here. So you can help with that as well. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, great passage of scripture, beginning there at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, doesn't say it there, but that's what it means. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The attitude of gratitude that Paul describes here isn't really optional for us as believers. It's not a seasonal thing that we do once a year. According to the Apostle Paul, in this passage of Scripture, God commands us to be thankful every day of our lives. That we are to be offering praise to God in our lives continually. That we actually make the choice to rejoice. We decide in our heart and in our mind, this is how I want to live. It's a daily choice we make. Will I be joyful and thankful today? Or will I be grumpy and complaining and miserable today? Like the lady asked her friend, do you wake up grumpy in the morning? She said, no, I let him sleep. How do you wake up in the morning? How do you face the day? The Apostle Paul says, I have a word for you. He says, rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. No, it doesn't say that. He says, rejoice in the Lord when everything's going your way. No, that's what we like to do. Rejoice in the Lord when all your prayers are answered and all the bills are paid and everything's going great in your life, then rejoice in the Lord. Circle this in your little outline there. Rejoice in the Lord. Circle it always. Always. And as if we didn't get that, he says, I will say it again. Rejoice. What the apostle seems to be saying to us is that it is not only possible, but it is expected that in every situation in our lives, every need that we face, everything that we're going through, we do it in a sense of thanksgiving. And that by obeying this command, it transforms us from the inside out. Because God knows that an attitude of gratitude can change our lives. This spirit of thanksgiving can improve our moods and refocus our perspective, and it can even renew relationships around us when we get a spirit and an attitude and a tone of thankfulness, of gratitude. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle that we practice daily. It trains us to think differently. It directs us to rearrange our perspectives in our life. It moves us away from self-centeredness, and it reminds us of God's faithfulness, and it develops strength of character. Hello? Thankfulness develops a strength of character within us. You say, Pastor, prove that one. You're out on thin ice now. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And we read that verse and we think, oh yeah, all the little wimps, the geeks, are going to take over. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. But that's not what meek means. We think meek means weak. But it doesn't. The only two people in the Bible who were called meek, Moses and Jesus. The only two in the Bible that were known as meek in their spirit. What does meek really mean? Well, if you go back to the original language, meek is this picture of a wild stallion who gets trained, and they put the bridle in his mouth, and the rider can turn this mighty animal any direction he wants because he's been trained. He's meek. It's strength under control. Another way the word meek was used in the original language was it was kind of a salve, a balm that was put on infected injuries, and it drew out the pain. It drew out the hurt. It was a healing that was brought by application. Another picture that was used, Plato used this word meek in one of his writings, where a young child went to see the doctor and said to the doctor, "Please be meek with me." Did you ever say that to a doctor? "Please be gentle. Don't hurt me. That looks like a long needle. Go easy on me." It's this picture of having the ability and the strength, but not using it all. Strength under control. It's a picture of controlling our reactions, controlling how we respond. Meekness is this self-discipline, this character quality that says, however you treat me does not mean how I'm going to react to you. Meekness. That's good preaching, Pastor. It's what I came for today. I came to learn that I don't have to be the victim of all the circumstances around me. I don't have to somehow be reactive. If somebody's mean to me, I got to be mean to them. I got to get even with them. No. A meek person is a strong person who has their strength under control, their responses and reactions under control. And one of the ways that character quality can be developed and grown in our lives is learning to be thankful. Learning to be grateful. That whatever's going on in our lives, we can still say, God, you've been better to me than I ever deserved. God, you've given more to me than I ever expected or asked or believed you could do. You've topped every one of my prayers. God, you're so good to me. That's meekness. That's responding from a place of strength where we say, I'm doing this on purpose. It's a character quality. And Paul is saying, when we learn to develop this attitude of thanksgiving in our lives, it changes our lives. Jesus is teaching us that we are the ones who actually decide the level of joy and rejoicing that we maintain in our hearts. I need you to chew on that a minute. We decide the level of joy and rejoicing in our spirits and nobody else. We decide. And so Paul says, we need to learn how to be thankful all the time. You say, Pastor, I can't do that. I can't be thankful all the time. That's not my nature. Well, we can fix that. You know, there's two reasons why we can be thankful all the time. One of them is, God commands us to be thankful all the time. Hello. And God never commands us to do something that He won't help us to do. He doesn't give us commandments to frustrate us. He doesn't give us commandments to make us feel like, oh, we're missing it, we're so bad, we're so wrong. No, God gives us commandments to enrich our lives and bless our lives. And he says, I'm giving you this command to rejoice all the time because this will lift your spirit. This will grow your faith. This will change your perspective about everything around you. If you didn't get it the first time, let me tell you, rejoice. Rejoice. Second reason I know that this is possible is because I've watched human nature, and I know we can decide how we react and what we say and how we feel. We can decide that. Not only does God command it, we can decide. You say, Pastor, that's not true. All these bad things happen to me and I just get discouraged and depressed and down in the dumps and I don't know, right? Let me prove it to you. Let's say you're at home and the kids are playing cowboys and Indians and it's crazy, wild, ruckus time and they're climbing over the tables and knocking off the lamps and you're trying to stop them and it's an intense moment. You ever have those at your house? Or the grandkids. For us, it's the grandkids coming over. They come over and it's like a cyclone hits our house, you know, and it just doesn't take long. Everything's out of place and pushed over and they have quite a time. We're glad to see them come. We're glad to see them go. They're just a handful. You know what I've noticed? That in the midst of all that, maybe you're having a family discussion, you and your spouse. Now, you're not having a fight, but you are having an intense discussion. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I don't think... And the phone rings, and you say, hello. Did you ever do that? I'll tell you what I think. I think ring, hello. And we pick this reaction. We meet a new person. Our voice changes. Our countenance changes. Even our posture changes when we meet someone new. Why? Because we choose our reactions. We choose our attitude. We can. We have control over that. And Paul says, since that's true, and since God wants us to rejoice, then let's choose this reaction all the time. Let's just become a whole new person. Let's change how your expression is. Let's change your posture. Let's change your tone. And we can learn this art of being thankful as our reaction. We can have this grace of gratitude as our response. Here's what happens usually. We have a tough day. We have a big problem. We have a cranky coworker who spills into our life and just dumps their junk all over us and we just turn into Eeyore. Oh, I feel so bad. Oh, this is so awful. Oh, this can't get better. Oh, it's awful. And you know what happens? By choosing that attitude, we spiral down and we let a negative, dark, cranky person turn us into a negative, dark, cranky person. They got just what they wanted. They ruined our day. And I want to suggest to you that those cranky people, those difficult people who splash into our lives, uninvited, unwanted, but here they come, can be a lesson for God to teach us, I'm still thankful. I don't care what you have to say, I'm still thankful. I don't care how you treat me. I still have gratitude in my life for God's goodness to me. And I'm going to look at that instead of look at you. I'm going to look at his blessings instead of all of your negativity. Not going to let it happen. And we can choose that continually in our lives until it actually becomes a way to lift us out of a bad day. Instead of spiraling down, we choose to be thankful and grateful and blessed, and we choose to praise the Lord, and we find joy restored in our lives. You know what the scripture says? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Think about that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Whatever we can do to restore and cultivate joy in our life, we want to do that because that makes us strong. So I'm having a tough day and I'm dealing with this nasty person and there's all these problems going on. I choose joy because I need God's strength and power working in my life. I'm not going to spiral down and become Eeyore and lose all my strength. Good preaching, Pastor. Boy, this is good stuff. I really needed this, Pastor. Thank you for that. It can change our life. It can change the atmosphere in our home. It can change the tone in the office with the people we work with. If we decide, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say, rejoice. Say that with me. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say, rejoice. You learned a memory verse today. You need to take that memory verse for the next 2 weeks, all through the Thanksgiving holiday and afterward. And when the turkey burns, and when the gravy scorched, and the kids aren't cooperating, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Amen. It will change everything, and you'll have the joy of the Lord restored. You say, Pastor, that sounds so good. I know I need to. I want to do this, but I can't. Well, let me help you with that. In this passage, Paul gives us four ways that we can choose joy. Four ways we can cultivate gratitude and praise and thanksgiving in our lives until it's just naturally a lifestyle that we live. First one, you're going to like this one. The first one is relearn the way we pray. Now, I'm going to get on thin ice here with some people, but it's scripture. He says in this verse, don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking Him with a thankful heart. Have you ever felt like that sometimes when we have prayer times together as believers, they kind of turn into downers? They're kind of depressing? It's like everybody's trying to think up a worse problem. My problem's bigger than your problem. You know, my illness is worse than your illness. You go to organ recitals, you know, all the different organs of the body that are in need, you know, and they're reciting them all in prayer time. And if you're not careful, prayer time can just focus on the negatives and the dark things and the things we need and what's wrong. But the NIV here says it so well. He says, don't be anxious about anything, and in everything, pray with thanksgiving. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And we can pray about the good things. We can pray about God's blessings. We need to do that. We need to say, you know what, God? Thank you for whatever He brings to your mind. And just pray about everything that way. There's a power that comes when we pray. God wants His children to live worry-free and thankful. God wants His children to live worry-free and thankful. The proverb writer says, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. So we learn to pray with this rejoicing and praise, because praise is this tune-up of my heart for the day. I relearn how to pray. I start injecting praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing every time we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Okay. You got it. Relearn how we pray. Number two, Paul says in this passage, refocus on God's calling on my life. When we get into tough times, it's time to refocus and remember God's purpose and calling, to somehow kind of step back and remember that God has a plan designed for us. He has a purpose for us. And it's a great exercise for my faith to remember that God's calling never changes. God's plan is never frustrated. There are no people anywhere, anytime, who can stop God from doing what He's decided He's going to do. I love that. Devil, do your worst. God's still in charge. Amen? God's given me a design and a calling and a plan, and I'm living this out, and I'm thankful for His call on my life in every situation. And he says here in verse 7, and the peace of God, circle that, the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, when you can't figure out what God's up to, when things look a little confused and your world's a little shaken and you're saying, God, what's happening here? You can remember that whatever's happening here, God is still in control. You can remember that whatever's happening or whatever anyone is doing to you, they can't mess up what God has planned for your life. Amen. And we release ourselves to trusting God. And when we do that, Paul says, the peace of God fills our lives. The peace of God. You know, they say there are depths in the ocean that no hurricane or cyclone has ever stirred. It's still peaceful down there. Storm may be raging up on top, but there's peace way down deep. That's how it is for God's people. The peace that Jesus gives is a peace that transcends all explanation and all understanding. I can't tell you why, but God can hold us in His peace. Amen. Amen. And whatever's happening, whatever anybody else is doing, I'm trusting that God's will is being worked out in my life, and it doesn't bother me. I'm at peace with God because He's in control. And I trust Him. And He loves me. He's watching over me. And because of that, I can be thankful. I can be filled with joy and rejoicing. I can have a sense of praise continually in my life because God is in control. We're tempted to ask the wrong question when the storm comes. We're tempted to ask God, why? Wrong question. Wrong question. Don't ask God why. You can't fathom to understand what God is up to in this universe and how you fit into it. You'll never get there. Don't ask him why. Ask him what. God, what do you want me to do now? God, what can I do to thank you for your goodness in my life? God, what can I do to get in step with what you're doing? What? If you ask the wrong question, you always get the wrong answer. If you ask the right question, you get the right answer. The right question isn't why, because you'll never understand. There'll never be a good enough reason God would give you for you to endure whatever you're going through when you're saying, why, God, why? There's no good answer. But you can say, God, now that this has crashed into my life uninvited and I don't like this, what should I do now? What are you doing in my life? What can I do to let your love shine out of me? And that changes our whole tone. We relearn the way we pray. We refocus on God's purpose. Number three, we retrain your brain. There it is. We retrain your brain and how you think in your life. What you think about and meditate on and dwell on. What you hold in your mind. There are too many depressed and discouraged people who have one thing in common. They're filled with stinking thinking. That's right. They allow stinking thinking to take over their life. They think negatively. They think about all the things they want to do to get even. They think about, well, how come I have to go through this and nobody else does? They think the wrong way. They think angry thoughts. And Paul is saying, if you want to learn how to rejoice in the Lord always, again, I say, rejoice. If you want to learn how to do that, it's going to start with what you put in your heart and mind to think about. What you ruminate on. That's a big word. You know, cows ruminate. Get that grass and they and they chew and chew and chew. I sometimes wonder if cows had bubble gum. They just chewed and chewed and chewed, and then they swallow. And then whoop, they burp and they chew and chew and chew. What do you chew on in your mind? What do you think about? What are you putting into your mind? Look how Paul instructs us here in this verse. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is, circle that, true. Whatever is, circle this, noble. Whatever is, circle this one, right. Whatever is, circle this one, pure. Whatever is, circle this one, lovely. Whatever is, circle this one, admirable. If anything is, circle this one, excellent. Or, circle this one, praiseworthy. Think about such things. I'd say that'd give us all enough to think about, wouldn't you? If it's true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy, then stick that in your brain. Fill your thoughts with those kinds of things. Ruminate on that. And see if it's not easier to have praise and joy and rejoicing coming out of your life because your brain is trained to think about the right thing. You know what they say about computers? Garbage in, garbage out. True about brains. You put garbage into the brain, Garbage comes out of the mouth, out of the life. Paul is saying we can determine what we put into our lives and develop this attitude of thanksgiving and praise all the time. Think about these things. Pastor, sounds like Paul's trying to brainwash us. Yes, he is. Your brain needs to be washed. It's time to have a good old thorough brainwashing. And drop all the junk that fills your mind and your heart and say, you know what, I've decided I'm going to have a new diet for my mind. Whatever's pure and lovely and praiseworthy and honorable, I'm going to think about those things. And as a person thinks in their heart, so they are, so they become. Amen? Paul says there's a fourth thing. He says, it's powerful when we learn to relate more with positive, thankful people. The positive people around you, find them, learn from them, watch them respond to life, and catch it, a thankful spirit. Thanksgiving is contagious. Rejoicing and joy can be contagious. Just like whining is contagious. Just like worrying is contagious. Just like complaining is contagious. I don't know about you, I kind of want to put a mask on when I'm around some people. Because they're so cranky and sad and down, and I don't want to breathe in their germs because that's contagious stuff. Fear is contagious. But did you know faith is contagious? It is. Faith, that's the powerful thing about baptism services. When people stand up and say, I have decided to live for Jesus and I'm baptized today to let, I want everybody to know I'm going to live for the Lord. And we baptize them, we cheer, and they come out. We're thinking, boy, that's great. That's what we want to see people do. That builds up my faith to share with them in that service. Amen? Does that do that for you? It's a faith builder. It lifts us up in our spirit. Now, Paul says, I want you to study in your life the relationships you have that you're dropped into in your world, all these relationships. I want you to figure out who are the positive people, the thankful people, the joyful people. Find those people and get around them. Rub up against them. Maybe they'll be contagious. You'll get some of that. You know, just listen to them. Look how Paul says it here. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Circle those words. Put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. What an encouragement. Get around those faith-filled people in your life. I don't think I can emphasize this enough. It's not enough to come to church on Sunday morning and sit here in a pew and take good notes and go home. Not enough. You need fellowship with other believers. You need to get in a Bible study or a small group or a ministry team. You need to serve with others around you. And as you do that, catch what they've got. Get the good stuff from them. Admire what God is doing in their life. Say, God, I want you to do that in my life too. Put it into practice. Make it work for you. Because the truth is, when we do that, God's peace begins to flood our lives. I was sitting in a restaurant this week having a cup of coffee. And there was a guy that was, I don't know, He was bugging this waitress. I don't know if he was flirting. If it was, he sure didn't know how to do it. He just kept talking to her, and she's working, and, hey, what do you think? You know, just on and on and on. I thought, that poor woman. I know she's working for a tip. She has to be nice to him. And he finally got done, left the restaurant, and I'm sitting there working on some stuff, and I heard one of the guys say to the waitress, well, bet you're glad he's gone. And she said, there's some people who walk in here, and I love to see them coming. And there's some people who walk out of here, I love to see them going. And I thought, boy, isn't that how it is in our lives? There are people we love to see coming into our lives. We love to be with them. We love to be around them. They're positive. They're encouraging. They're uplifting. They're faith-filled people. Paul says, get around those people. If they're not coming into your life enough, then you go get in their life. You go chase them down. Get around those people. Let them build you spiritually. That's what edify means. When believers get with believers, they build each other up. Amen. Let's build each other up. Let's get around those thankful people. And ask God to cultivate within us a lifestyle, the way we live every day, not just Thanksgiving. We just become thankful all the time for His blessings. Amen. Amen. Well, I've dumped about enough truth on you today. You don't need any more. But if you'll come back tonight, we're going to have a good time. Our church leaders have been working on a strategic plan for our church that we want to be following in the coming months, next couple years. We've worked pretty hard on this plan. We've talked to volunteers and ministry leaders and the church board. We've turned it into our district office. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Not just how God has answered prayer and been good to us this past year. We're going to say, here's what we're asking God for this coming year. These three things we're asking God for this coming year. And we're expecting God's going to help us do them. Don't miss it. The rollout tonight. And we're going to have a good time of fellowship. Your homework for today is to get your Thanksgiving list ready for tonight. Because you're going to sit at the table with all your friends, and we're going to ask you to share at least three things that you're thankful for. And if you sit there going, they'll know you didn't do your homework. So think about, what am I thankful for? What do I have praise in my life for to God? And I think as we share around the table and we're thankful together, it'll be contagious, and we'll all be built up a little more in our faith. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, I'm so thankful that you don't bless us in the ways we deserve. I'm so thankful you don't reward us according to our level of performance. So good to know, Lord, that you don't love us in proportion to the way we have loved you. You love us far and above where we've ever been. We love you because you first loved us. We have praise and thanksgiving in our lives today in so many ways for what you've done. I pray today we'll start a journey for some of us who've never considered this before, that you want us to live a life of thanksgiving. Let it begin to change us. That we're not living a life of complaining anymore. We're going to live a life of thanksgiving. We're going to live a life of gratitude and joy and rejoicing in our lives. We want to do that, Lord, for you. We want you to build our character Let us be meek in the way that we have a new strength inside our lives to choose how we respond and how our attitude and our heart will be. Give us, Lord, hearts filled with thankfulness. As you seal this message to our hearts, as you challenge us to take this truth and live it every day, find those positive people around us that we can be near and associate with, that their faith can rub off on us. May there be a new awareness that you're doing something within us, because we've decided with your help we're going to rejoice in the Lord always. Say it again, we're going to rejoice. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said together, amen, amen. God bless you. Ushers coming forward, we want to worship the Lord in giving. Thank you for your faithfulness and honoring God with your tithes and offerings. I know that He returns as we give to Him, He returns to us. Somebody said, when we shovel to God, God shovels to us, and His shovel's bigger than ours. And it is. Thank you, Lord, for how you've provided for us. We share in this time of worship, of giving, as a testimony to your faithfulness. We thank you today for your goodness. We honor you, Lord, for the way you've provided for all that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.